So how many of you have tried to figure out what God's will is for your life? How many of you have thought what you were doing was God's will only to find out that it probably wasn't? It's happened to everybody. And it's kind of interesting when you think about it. How were you so convinced it was God's will, and then it turned around and it wasn't God's will? And the minute that happens, then we begin to start questioning all sorts of things. So let me read you a passage that's found in the Bible, in Psalms 37, because I think it's rather interesting as something that I'm convinced is already worked out for you. In Psalms 37, it says this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." What's interesting about this passage is it leads you to believe that your steps are already ordered. You don't have to worry about it. If you're a good man, if you're a Christian, the steps are already ordered. They're already in front of you. All you have to do is be able to see what those steps are. And therein lies a little bit of the issue. You know, I've had so many people who I've talked to about this subject, and I've come to my own conclusions about this, and I want to share them with you. If something works out, does it mean it's God's will? What if it doesn't work out? Does it mean it wasn't God's will? I'm convinced that people get this all backwards. If it works out, it must have been God's will. If it doesn't work out, it must not have been God's will. And I will tell you, both are wrong. Sometimes things don't work out, and it is God's will. And sometimes things do work out, and it wasn't God's will for your life. We're so busy trying to figure out what God's will is, when in reality, it's already ordered. And he says, what's ordered? The steps are already ordered. What's our job? Our job is to take the steps. But it's kind of hard to take the steps when you're not sure what steps to take. So if I can help you understand how to take steps in faith, God says it's already ordered and you'll figure it out. But if we spend so much time trying to figure out what the end result is, we'll miss the steps, and that is the most important part of the process. It's taking the steps in faith. So what we've titled this is Getting Started. And for lack of a better term, it's, you know what? You got to do something. You just got to do something. And we spend so much time trying to figure it out that we don't take steps. I've seen young men get so paralyzed by what they're trying to figure out that they never take a step in faith. Young men in particular, if the mind gets overwhelmed, then what happens is the brain shuts down. And this is what I see happening with so many young people today. They are so paralyzed by what they're trying to figure out. What am I going to do for my life? What is the direction I'm going to take? What kind of job am I going to have? And they try to figure it all out to the point where it just gets them so confused that the brain shuts down and they do nothing. So what I want to go over today is some very simple steps how you can get out of this problem and avoid this trap. Because it is a big trap that most people get into. And you're too young to get confused and have things shut down. You don't want to do that. And I can help you keep from doing that if you'll pay attention to the things I'm going to share with you right now. So I want you to get a pen, a piece of paper, and write down four words, because we're going to deal with them one at a time. The first one is simplification. Simplify. In other words, you need to take a step back for a second and ask yourself, how can I make this easy for my brain to figure out? Let me just share with you a simple concept. We think that we have to gain a lot of experience before something can happen. And I will tell you the opposite is true. You need to gain experiences that build on each other, and experiences build over a lifetime. A mentor of mine said this to me one time. He said, experience is the key to greatness. So if you want to be great, gain all the experiences you can, and what you'll find out is you'll have direction in life. It's your experiences that matter. And it's your experiences that you draw on that tend to when you're confronted with that crossroad of decision, that keep you going and pursuing the path that God has already ordered. It's the experiences he gives us gives us clues as to what's the next step. And it's already ordered. So all we need to do is accept the experiences that happen to us, learn those experiences and what they have, the lessons they have in store for us, and then take the steps in faith towards the next choice that God has in front of us. If our pathway is already ordered, it can't be confusing. It has to be simple. And if we can simplify it, that's good. So our goal should be get experience. Get experience in what? It doesn't matter. What matters is the kind of qualities a person must possess to be able to do the things they want to do. God lays it out very clearly. One of the experiences you ought to get is what? Wisdom. In fact, it's really kind of funny. He doesn't say, learn wisdom. He says, get it. Over and over again, get it, get it, get wisdom, get wisdom, get wisdom. Why would he say that? It's this idea of pursuing wisdom in such a way that it brings value and purpose and meaning to our life. If we have wisdom, when confronted with the pathway, we will make right choices. And so our first goal ought to be surround yourself with wise people who can help you with experiences that bring on more wise choices in our life. And it doesn't really matter an occupation. What matters is that we're learning things that will cause us and help us to make wise choices. So simplify. Get it down to a very simple manner. Find something. Do something. It doesn't matter what you do. What it matters is what you're learning and the kind of qualities that you possess. And I will tell you, almost any job can teach you something that you can build upon from an experiential point of view and take it to the next level. So simplification is the first one. Stop confusing yourself. Do something. Number two is identification. Once it's simple, then we begin to identify those people in our lives that can really help us with wise choices. Find a person who has the ability to train you, not teach you. Is there a difference between teaching and training? Yes or no? Absolutely. What's the difference? Well, teaching is the whole idea of head knowledge. You know, I see people call it training, and it really isn't. What they think they can do is take a person in a classroom, open up their head, fill it so full of facts and figures and numbers and words and so forth, and then all of a sudden that person can perfectly perform what they've been taught to do. And nothing is further from the truth. Let me ask all of you, most of your education has been taught, not necessarily trained. Now, I'm not saying you ever received training at home, and hopefully you have, but there is a big difference between teaching and training. And the big difference in my mind is this: training implies repetition or repetitive motion. It's not this idea of I just accept the fact and figure I'm memorizing and somehow I'm able to do it. It's this repetitive idea that every time I hear it, then over and over again, it becomes incorporated into my life. And instead of having to think about it, I just do it. But it's repetition. A friend of mine said that repetition is the mother of all learning. And if we have repetition in our life, that's a good thing. But we have to identify those people who could train us, who could bring repetition to our lives so that we master what it is that we're being taught. And we gain vital experience in what we're trying to do. So simplification, make it easy. Stop worrying about what's way down the road and try to figure out what's right in front of you. And already understanding that God's already ordered our steps, all we have to do is take a step in the direction and then identify that kind of person who could train us, not teach us, but really provide training to make wise choices. The third one is specification. This idea is we need goals that and purpose to our life. I will say that goals without desire are just dreams. Many people have goals, but they don't desire to do anything about it. Each one of you need to possess what I would call marketable maturities. What is that? That's gaining maturity in your life so that you become marketable to those around you. In other words, you're an attraction to those. When you think about marketing is building an attraction to your product. Well, what is a better product than you? You are a product. And if you don't have marketable maturities, that means nobody's going to be attracted to you. It's this idea of understanding things that will draw people to us, and when people are drawn to us, opportunities are presented, and the Lord has a way of being able to add additional steps in front of our face that we're able then to take advantage of. We don't have to keep looking all over the world. Steps are right in front of you. But it's this idea of specification. Goals without desire are just dreams. You have to want to do the things and desire to have the things that are consistent with your goals. If goals are one thing and behavior is another, you cannot expect the right outcome. I've seen so many people tell me they want one thing, and the very things that they do are inconsistent with their goals. Consistency is the key. And if you want your goals, then you have to back up and start with the end in mind. There's a book out that I read not too long ago, which was The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. I'm not a believer in everything that was in that book, but I will say one thing, I think you got it right. In everything you do, start with the end in mind and work your way back. Because if you do, then every step you take has got to be consistent with the goal you have in mind. If the steps you're taking are inconsistent with it, you cannot expect to achieve what you set out to do. And specification is really important in this. Is if you start with the end in mind, then you can look at every step along the way and make sure that that's consistent with the end goals. So if your end goal is wisdom, then all the steps you take must lead you to that end result. You cannot be around unwise people and learn wisdom. You cannot sit around and play video games and wind up with wisdom. You cannot do the kinds of things that unwise people wouldn't do. Because if you do, then what happens is you wind up at a place that is inconsistent with the goal you set before yourself. So we've got simplicity, or simplify. We've got identification, which is identifying the person who can train you, not teach you. Specification, which is goals that are consistent with the outcome that I want. And then we have to diversify. In other words, so simplify, identify, specify, and diversify. And it is that breadth of knowledge and experience that allows all sorts of good things to happen. I will say breadth of knowledge and experience always trumps a narrow focus. We get so narrow in our focus sometimes that we don't understand it's the breadth of knowledge and the breadth of experience that causes a breadth of opportunity. When we get so narrow in our thinking, what happens is we chase one thing, thinking it's God's will, and then all of a sudden when that doesn't work out, we go, well, that wasn't God's will, so we turn around and we chase this, and that doesn't work out. It's kind of like watching a little kid's soccer ball team. Have you ever seen that? A little kid's soccer ball team, what happens? The kid kicks the ball, and where does the whole team go? Chases the ball. And it's kind of like the same thing in our life. We chase these balls, and when it doesn't work out, it gets kicked, and we chase that ball, and we never wind up scoring. We're just winding up chasing balls. I've seen young men and women in 15, 16, 18, 20, 25, 30, who have still not got any direction in their life because they were chasing balls rather than taking steps that I think really matter. And if you can simplify, you can identify the person who can help teach you, train you, not teach you. You can specify what you want, which is goals that are consistent with the outcome. And then understand that diversity or breadth of knowledge and experience always trumps a narrow focus. Then it doesn't matter what you do. What's interesting about this is a friend of mine said to me a long time ago, he says, it really doesn't matter what you do. What matters is what you do with what you're doing, what you learn from what you're doing. Are you building skills? Are you building expertise? If you chase those things, you will arrive where you want to be. A mentor of mine said this, you are what you want to become long before you get there. I really want you to ponder on that for a second. You are what you want to become long before you get there. It's really interesting in business. I have people come up to me all the time who already have jobs, and they come up and they say, you know, Steve, I'd really like an opportunity over here. I could really show you what I'm made of if you could give me that opportunity over here. And my first question is, what are you doing with the opportunity you've been given? Well, I know I'm just an average performer over here, but what I really could do is I could really show you what I'm made over here. And my common answer is, show me what you're made of, where you're at, and then we'll talk about the job you want. It's this whole idea of getting expertise and becoming the expert at what it is you currently do, and then what happens is you have this pathway that leads you to success in a number of areas that you could do. Folks, I can't stress this enough, that all of you ought not to worry so much about what is going to happen. You ought to worry about the things that God has right in front of you, which are steps right now that you could be taking that are very simple. Do something. Take a step. And any step you take, you can learn volumes. So what skills and experience do I need to possess that would open a door? That's what you have to ask. What skills are so necessary that people would be attracted to me in such a way that doors would open? And if you go there, I promise you that you will not have to sit around and worry and get frustrated and get anxious and get bitter about things not happening. Things will just naturally happen that God has already ordered in your life. So let's talk about two things I think you can do. One thing, I think you need to ask yourself, what skills and expertise do I need to possess that will open a door? What are those things? And if you don't know, sit down with your mother and father. Sit down with someone you respect. Sit down with someone who you consider to be successful. Ask them that question. What skills and expertise do I need to possess right now that would open doors for me? I could list a whole litany of things. Let's talk about self-discipline. Are you a self-disciplined person? One of the frustrating things I see in business all day long is I have to help guide people towards things they should have learned at home, like being on time, like dressing appropriately, things I never would have thought I would have had to deal with adults. I sometimes think I'm running an adult daycare center sometimes in business because it's just like it. People are adults living in child bodies and they never seem to grow up, and we're teaching things that they should have learned at home, and I quite honestly am getting frustrated with it. And I continue to be frustrated with it because it keeps you from taking big steps in gains in business and in your personal life and everything else. If you are so encumbered with immaturity, it's a problem. So what skills and experience do I need right now? Do I need to possess, own, and have? And then once you find that list, then all you have to do is find something that enables you to be able to learn something on that list. And if you think about it, can you learn self-discipline in almost any job you take? The answer is yes, you can. And we forget that. We think it's the job. It's not the job. It's the qualities I possess that enable me to do any job better than anyone else. And when doing so, people are naturally gravitate towards you. And when that happens, you wind up getting opportunities that others do not have. Let me leave you with this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're already in front of you. And if you will just take a step in faith towards the qualities you must possess, then that is where God wants you. And he says, when you do that, he delights in you. Make that your goal.